On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys. It's happening. Oh, my God, guys. Oh, my God. I wish you all were here.
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No.
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
Dank flavors. Dank is not what I'm looking
for. Hey, aren't you that guy everybody hates?
No, man, no.
This is Tall Can Audio. Follow along on Twitter at Tall Can Audio or at facebook.com/tallcanaudio.
Just do it!
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back into Tall Can Audio number 738. Matt over here, Rob in Canada. What's happening on a beautiful Canada evening? That's actually not that beautiful.
It's not that beautiful, actually. It's just rainy, overcast.
Yeah.
But things couldn't really be better, to be honest with you, Matt.
As we sit here right now, so that people know, it is just after 5 o'clock on Wednesday afternoon. So the second, third, fourth, through seventh rounds of the NHL draft just finishing up. We've seen a couple of moves, not as many as I think some people predicted, but there has been some speculation that one of the reasons for that is a lot of experts are saying maybe we're going to see a lot more guys not get their qualifying offer than we're used to, in which case they'll become free agents and maybe you don't need to make a trade. Somebody's going to drop in your lap maybe as a free agent. That will all change at 5 o'clock. Guys who were going to be qualified, it had to be done today by 5. So not as many trades as we thought we'd see, but we are still going to have our Friday night show. We thought we'd drop in here, though, as some interesting things have happened. I would remind you before we get started to go back and check out TCA 737 with Sean Fitzgerald. That came out on Tuesday morning, author of the book Before the Lights Go Out, A Season Inside a Game on the Brink. We're getting some good feedback on that, so if you haven't had a chance yet, make sure you check that one out. And on Thursday morning, as promised, it'll be episode 739. You are still going to get Tim McAuliffe on Thursday as well. So lots of good stuff happening right now. This one was Rob's idea. I spent most of the day with my head pounding and whatever. So I'm going to let you tell me where you want to start, man.
I guess it's and it's funny, just to finish what you were going on about there.
Just yammering away. Just trying to do some business, man.
Yeah, no, I meant before that. Oh. The pre-business bit.
Right.
Yeah, traditionally, the second day, everything just whips by, right? Yeah. Listening to Pierre Dorion at about 7:30 this morning, he was expecting everything to be wrapped up today by about 3.
Oof.
And then we'll focus on you know, the QAs after that.
Sure.
And so, yeah, honestly, it's dragging by the draft. I'm not even sure they're out of the fourth round, right? Let alone.
Well, it was only like an hour or so ago where someone said, how do the Leafs have 9 picks left? Like,
yeah.
This has been going on for 5 hours.
So if you had somebody saying, no, I got 2 hours to worry about whatever's happening over there. Yeah, no, you don't.
No, you don't, right? Matt. So.
I hope you have a good man or two or woman on that because, yeah, otherwise it ain't happening.
Shit's backed up for sure.
But in terms of where we want to start,
there you go.
How about a little zigga 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 zigga, oi oi oi.
Oh,
a little.
We were going
little,
different places there.
Little Oktoberfest.
Oh,
to me, it's the German movement has arrived here in the capital. So we're loving that. So that's why I'm taking down a Stiegel, a good German Pilsner beer.
Stiegel. Okay, I have gone with, I'm into the IPAs again. Sunday night I was having an IPA, I forget what it was called.
Oh, Matt's into the IPAs again.
Yeah, things are going to get messy. This is a 7%.
Oof.
Yeah, exactly. Called the Bear Hug IPA. It's going to put the squeeze on you. For sure. From the Market Brewing Company in Newmarket, Ontario. Obviously, never had this one before. They say one of the flavor notes, I was looking at this on the Untappd app, it says it's got some pineapple, it's like a golden haze, but it says with dank flavors. I'm like, dank is not what I'm looking for.
It's like it's bunged together with honey and oats. And dank and bunged, yeah, I don't think they're too
bunged up.
Yes. Those are two things that if you're looking for something to be at least semi-appetizing,
right,
those are not descriptors that I would go with.
So we are, we're going to give that a go here and see if finds.
So give it a poll because I'm interested in what you're feeling. Now, I noticed you've been going a little heavier than normal on the IPAs, which is traditionally, or at least in the past, has not been your deal.
Yeah,
but yet here we are.
I'll lay that out for you. There's not that many local beers left that I haven't tried yet. So in the interest of keeping fresh, always having something new to talk about, we're dipping into the IPAs a little more often. And I don't, like, hate them. It's just not what I would reach for, right? But, as I've been kind of circling around here lately, yeah, there's some more IPAs in the rotation.
Well, where are you in that job I tasked you with? I know you're...
Why has that been tasked to me?
You got, like, guests going on and stuff. I you know, those other incidentals that may be occurring...
You could find us a case of something, and
yeah, no, really, we're looking at going out of market, and the problem is there is I'm not here.
Sure,
to accept it,
but you could find it.
Oh,
you could set it up. You could punch in the mailing address. You could.
Is that what we're waiting on?
Well, we're not waiting on much. It just, you know, you mention it, and then it falls out of my head the second that we're done talking. Then we're on to other things.
Gets caught in that
in the
luxurious
dank.
Fro. You got it. Yeah. It's bunged together with nylon and hair.
So we will continue to branch it. We will get to it, but we just haven't yet, I suppose. This isn't bad. It's definitely got the fruity notes that they talk to. This doesn't taste like a 7%. When you tell me it's going to be 7%, I expect that extra crack to it, right? When you kind of go, and I'm not getting that. I don't find it too heavy. I don't find it too crispy. For lack of a better...
How about the hoppiness? How about you get any of that...
Yeah, that's in there for sure.
All right.
So, I don't mind it. Like, again, I say this about a few different beers, and normally it's because they're really sweet. It's not something you'd sit and drink six of. This is something you wouldn't sit and drink six of because at 7%, you'll be feeling no pain, man.
That's all right. Yeah. What do you have to do the rest of the day, really, is the question there.
Well, I have to put this show up. I know you put the headphones down and walk away.
Yeah, it's true. I have to disassemble this high-tech setup I have here, which is on the kitchen table.
Right.
So people will be fed here at some point this evening, so that has to get done, too. Oh, I know.
I'm not sure that's happening here either.
Yeah, well, I know you're just going to go over and throw some Jane's chicken in the oven, right? Whatever's going to go on there.
Might be some toppers tonight, I'm thinking. I don't even know if I got the energy for Jane's tonight.
Wow.
Yep. That's a statement in and of itself, for sure.
Okay, so how much of the first round did you catch last night?
Almost none. Did a bunch of reading though later on, and Sportsnet put out a beauty of a video that I'm not sure if I knew they were going to do that every year that I wouldn't pass on watching, and it was every first round pick in 9 minutes. So it just kind of flashed from window to window to window, the guy's reaction. It was a pretty beauty way to take it in, to be honest, because when you watch on TV, man, as we talked about here earlier, sometimes it can drag a little bit, right? And you're really just watching people say names of people that you know nothing about, so.
Well, yeah, I watched it all. Now, clearly, not as attentively as I thought I was. I got to the end of it, and I thought the...
Well, because for you, you got a nice, from 5 to 28, you could kind of check out if you needed to.
Yeah, but I, you know, usually with the first round, I like to, I'll go on tape delay, as I do with most things.
Yeah.
Zip through the commercials, sometimes zip through the talking heads. I didn't mind what Sportsnet had going, right? I'm not a huge, the panel they had of Merrick, Sam Cosentino, and Berkey.
Right.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Right. You miss, not that Jeff Merrick's not satisfactory.
Sure. No, I know what you're saying. That's a Duffy, McKenzie,
yeah,
kind of night. You're still kind of missing that a little.
Or even maybe a David Amber I'd go in for.
Okay, yeah.
It just in terms of if we're going to stick in the, Jeff Merrick gave it kind of a, I don't know whether it's a Leafs lunch or whatever, whatever the deal is there.
Now he does do all their memorial, I'm sure he's there because he's more knowledgeable than the other guys on Junior, right? Like he does follow it quite closely.
You know what, Matt?
Yeah.
That's a thought that had not occurred to me.
Yeah. No, he hosts their Sunday night junior games and their Memorial Cup stuff. And I think that's his bag.
Jeff Merrick, if you're listening. Sorry about
withdrawn.
That. Yeah. I take it all back. You have a well-earned spot. I enjoyed the, if you didn't catch much of it, they had Friedman and Fuda sort of in a separate studio and they would sort of kick to them for a little more of an in-depth sort of scouting or, assistant GM kind of
sure.
perspective from Fuda. And it was good. It was kind of casual back and forth kind of. Yeah, I like the feel of what they were doing.
Right.
To me, the whole thing wasn't bad. And as far as, Gary played it easy. He just sort of played traffic cop and pushed people in different directions.
Directing the Skype calls and...
Yeah, moving it over too. And I would like to have seen more trades, but...
Yep.
You like that. We have a trade. I think you're going to want to hear this.
I think you're going to want to hear this.
Yeah, stop booing me for just a second.
Never.
Yeah.
Sit outside your bedroom window, buddy.
Okay, and so did you see the Alex Trebek thing?
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up because it was something we can touch on it here maybe before getting into the actual picks. For those who missed it, the Senators' third pick had Alex Trebek on the set of Jeopardy and kind of announced it as a Jeopardy question, right? The category is the NHL. The Ottawa Senators with their third overall pick select, and then who is Tim Stützle? What did you think of it?
I liked it. I liked it.
I liked it more than I thought I would. When I read it, I saw it on Twitter before I actually saw the video of it, and I went, I didn't love it, but I didn't hate it. I thought it was going to come off as cheesy. I thought it was fine. And we're in this weird universe of, why not try and have a little bit of fun with it? Do something a little bit of different. Different people who aren't aware, I guess the tie is that he's an Ottawa U
He's alum. From Sudbury originally, went to Ottawa U. He quite frequently will bring up his Ottawa ties on Jeopardy, so he sort of has stuck with that a bit, right?
Yeah.
So
I thought it was different, it was kind of fun, like I said, having read it first, I was like, oh, this is gonna be cheese, right? But when you actually see it, I'm like, nah, it's kind of fun, that's all right.
Well, it felt like Jeopardy, really, in terms of, and the funny part is in listening to Stützle talk, he's like, no, I had no idea about Jeopardy. I've never heard of that show.
Oh.
I don't know anything about the guy. And so you got to think as an 18-year-old, when you go, the answer is, who is Tim Stützle?
Yeah.
And you're it's like, insulting. I'm Tim Stützle. Yeah, I'm right here.
Man.
Yeah, what are you talking about, old man?
I'm top three in the world, dick.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, for a guy who wasn't familiar with the show, so apparently...
Well, maybe that is a fair criticism of it, that it's not particularly hip. Like, it is in keeping with the NHL's demographic. And maybe, even a North American kid is probably more familiar. But
right.
Your 18-year-old from anywhere are not... Big Jeopardy, yeah. Guys.
No, no. So. And now it's for the viewer more
sure,
than I think
course,
for that is. For that kid, right? But
yep.
It was good and something like that, as you said, could fall flat, but I think in terms of the times we're dealing with, I think it came off pretty good.
Yeah, I thought so too.
So if you come down to it, if we want to start in a general sort of a way, I did on TSN 1200, they had a thing called the Perfect 10, which was if you went and you filled out a form.
Matt's photo above it.
Yep. Perfect 10, baby, right
curvy.
There.
Curvy.
Yeah, for sure. For miles.
Voluptuous.
Dank. So if you could list the teams in order, 1 to 10, and the player they would take, you get a point for each correct.
Sure.
right? So you get a maximum of 20 points if you follow.
Yep.
So I did it. And I'm, yeah, honestly.
You were stopped at one?
I got three right.
Okay.
I got three right. I got Lafreniere to the Rangers.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I got Quinn to the Sabres.
Okay.
Rossi to Minnesota.
Okay.
That's it. Like nothing else in between did I get right. So and on this show on Sunday, I said I was hoping for Stützle Perfetti.
Yeah.
Right? Which I just didn't think Stützle was coming here.
Well, so. And I think I shut that down right away. I said, Perfetti could be gone at four. Nope. So
yeah, this is it. Yeah. And so I also I filled my bracket out with Perfetti at five.
Okay.
Yeah. But I had Byfield at three.
Yeah.
And so it was I think in terms of the surprises, and I'm sure anybody who's listening here, right, we know the order, right? The big three went as they were supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Lafreniere to the Rangers,
Byfield
to the Kings, and then Stützle to Ottawa, right? And so that was the accepted number one, and then the little grouping of two, whichever one went first, the other one would go.
Yep.
And then most people were of the opinion, people who know more than I, that there was this sort of three through maybe 12.
Yep.
Right? This sort of ledge where really anybody could go anywhere. So to me, there wasn't – that happened.
Yep.
Sorry, that's the Pilsner coming back to me. I was mildly surprised that Raymond went forward to the Devils. I mean, to the Wings.
Right.
And surprised also that Perfetti slid all the way to 10.
And I mean, what a nice little pickup for them sitting back there to have that fall in your lap.
Well, and again, the symmetry of that, if you didn't see it, they had Dale Hawerchuk's wife.
I did see that. I thought that was a nice touch as well.
And the fact that I believe Hawerchuk was number 10.
Yes.
They picked at 10, and it was just sort of.
And for people who have missed it, he lost his battle with, I believe it was stomach cancer,
it was.
Yeah, and so to have his wife make the 10th pick, I thought that was a nice touch as well. And these are the little things you can kind of do when it's, I mean, I suppose they could have brought her to the thing if it had been a standard year. Sometimes you do see players and guests make picks, but in this sort of instance, it was, again, nice touch. Some teams had players do it, some had these guests. I think Ottawa was the only one who did anything quite like the Jeopardy thing. But as we said, in that kind of unique environment, why not, you know, try something different? And
but they had, and I guess mildly surprised that Alex Holtz jumped up. I think I kind of had him for, and again, I had him and really it comes
Rob's
down to
rankings.
Well, yeah. And listening to and reading a wide variety of other people. I've never, outside of maybe the World Juniors, seen,
sure,
you know, most of these guys, to be honest with you.
Yep.
So really just in terms of reading, and it just goes to show you, no matter how plugged in you may be, other people, that really nobody has a clue.
I wonder what you think
unless
of...
Unless you're Bob McKenzie.
Yeah, some people have a clue, but most don't. I wonder what you think of... I was just kind of scanning through Twitter before we started this, and a guy named Earl Schwartz, and he writes for theleafsnation.com, and he's the same. He does his own kind of rankings, but, you know, I have no idea how plugged in he actually is.
Right.
But he made a point that so far, what he had deemed to be, outside of the first round, the four Russian players that were on his list as kind of going second through fourth round all went not only higher than he had them, but substantially higher than he had them. So he went back and he was kind of circling around and doing some research, and he started looking at a couple of Quebec picks. He started looking at a few different things, and he's said, you know, it's sort of a leap, but he goes, what I'm seeing is guys are weighing very heavily big starts to this season, which you wouldn't have seen in past years. The draft's in June. You only have last year's numbers and before that. Here you're kind of getting, the Russian league's been up and going for a month or so. And so you can get a look and go, ooh, shit. Like, if nothing else, it reinforces what you already thought of the guy, or maybe makes you take a second look in that. You buying into that at all?
Well, there can't be any other reason that at 21 or 22, Columbus takes Chinnikov.
Yeah.
Right? A guy who was the 30th ranked European skater. Right? Like nobody, like Sam Cosentino was looking through his papers. Fuda was looking through his stuff. And nobody had anything on him. They're like, nope, but he has like 7 points in 9 games in the KHL.
Right.
And so, but this is a guy who was still almost universally kind of viewed as a, I don't know, fourth round pick, fifth round maybe.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, people are looking at his early start and saying, yeah, look at that guy.
Could be brilliant. Good to go. Could be on a hot streak and you look like a douchebag by Christmas. But well, it's interesting anyway.
Yeah, so to me, I'm absolutely, when you look at a bit of the run and the finish guys too, right? Those who are playing, they're also up and going. So, yeah, no, I think there's absolutely some merit to that.
Were you happy with 3 and 5 there for the Sens?
Well, I think I let it be known fairly publicly on this show and on Twitter that I'd be disappointed if they took a defenseman at 5.
Yeah.
And more so if they took Sanderson.
So, no, I was not.
But, no, really the reality is we do know that he was ranked in the top 10. Like, mm-hmm. it's not like Ottawa reached off the page to take him there. You listen to, and I was listening to last week, Craig Button talk about Sanderson, and he's saying the only concern he may have is what is that offensive ceiling,
right?
The offensive upside on that. He said, I really see him, you know, you're hearing a lot of people making this Ryan McDonagh comparison.
Mm-hmm.
To me, what Button said, which makes good sense to me, is he said, I see him more as a Jay Bouwmeester kind of guy.
Okay.
Big body, excellent skater, is never going to run a power play for you, but he's going to take space away. He's going to eat up big minutes. He's going to be this excellent defender, two-way.
Trust him on the ice in big situations.
And so do you want that on your team? Yeah. If you look at Seth Jones and Werenski and what they were able to do,
mm-hmm.
right? If you look at it and they said, you know, if you have Hedman and you have McDonagh, you know, what does that do in terms of eating up the minutes?
It allows you to play Zach Bogosian and Luke Shen with them.
yeah. I wonder, do you draft that guy at 5?
Right.
That's my only question.
Yeah. You're looking maybe for a little more flash or something up there.
Well, and I think because, you know, now we'll see, right? I don't know what the ceiling is because that guy didn't even play at the World Juniors. I have, short of a couple of YouTube clips, and I've never seen him play
right.
a game on television or otherwise.
Yep.
So I'm going to give Trent Mann, who I think has done a really solid job in the past 4 years, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt here.
Mm-hmm.
And but yeah, I was going to say on a scale of 1 to 10, it came in at a solid 5 on the 5 pick.
Right.
I think it can be great, but I was looking for, as I said on Sunday, I was looking for big offensive potential.
Yeah.
Right. Like to me, that's the only place you get that. You know, the rarity that it comes to free agency, but through drafting is really where you get those stud offensive players. And so I was really hoping for a swinging for the fences.
Yeah.
Likewise, when you look at Ridley Craig, who's the guy they took at 28, who I like, and I think, again, never having heard of the guy before yesterday, so I can only, again, that's the beauty of the draft, right?
Of course.
And
that's why more often than not, every fan or at least every team walks away from the draft going, perfect, right? Couldn't believe he fell to us. Love this guy. And
yeah.
And so all the reviews, everything is glowing the next day when you read about them, and who the fuck knows, right? It's an 18-year-old kid. We'll see in 2, 3, 4 years.
Yeah, and he plays out of a program in Brandon that's run by Dave Lowry.
Right.
Right, so it's a really defensive-oriented team. That's the way he likes to play. So it'll be interesting. But I really wanted to see them. You package that 28 up with one of your seconds and one of your thirds
mm-hmm.
and see if he can get into the low 20s, right? Like, to me, that's – and take a swing on somebody. Hendrix Lapierre went at 22, I believe.
Yeah.
to the Capitals. They traded down to get to that, or up, sorry. Mm-hmm. That's what you do with a third pick in the first round, man. You got to swing for the fences with that.
Well, and we learned the next day that, like, Pierre's not opposed to that. He traded two picks to move up with Toronto, and Toronto dropped back in the second round, right? So
to the 44 pick.
Yeah.
But if you look at, like, let's just, for example, I tweeted out.
He's open to the idea is all I was.
Yeah. No, and he always has been, right? Yeah. He's always been, to me, but it's always he went up a spot to get Logan Brown. He went up a spot to get, you know, Mads Søgaard last year, or two spots. He, in the past, he went up to get Gabriel Gagne. He flipped another pick. Yeah, I get it. Right, we talked about this before. Don't stop doing that. But the thing is, if you look at, and we just touched on it, if you look at Columbus pick at 21, where they took Chimikov, that dude's going to be there in the fourth round. You know, and they have no second and third round pick.
Right.
Why wouldn't you approach them and say, hey, man, why don't you take the 28th? And you can still pick your guy. You can still pick your 100 ranked guy at 28, right? And then we'll give you a second and a third,
right?
Like, or maybe even a second does it at that point.
Yep.
Because you don't have one now. I think they. So I'm baffled by that. Right now, they asked him on the radio this morning, and he said, Pierre Dorion.
Yeah.
He said, "Oh, if we moved up, I likely would have still grabbed the same guy." If it smells like horse shit, it likely is horse shit.
Right.
So don't eat that. Don't eat that, Billy. That there is shit. So I get what he's saying, right? We love a guy that we took at 28, but I don't for a second believe that you're jumping up to, you know, six spots in the first round and still taking the same guy.
Right.
But that being said, I am reasonably pleased with the whole first round experience, right? What do you have any general thoughts or takeaways on that?
On
the first round as a whole.
I guess, like I referenced, I was surprised how far Perfetti fell. I don't have a ton to say on the Leafs pick, Rodion Amarov. I don't know much. 6'1", 185 pound left winger, who's probably 2-3 years away. But they project or hope he would play in with one of the pairings, right? Tavares, Nylander, or Matthews, Marner. He's a left side guy, good off the puck. So again, what the hell do I know about him
Did you see the Scott Wheeler pick? I mean, tweet.
No, I guess not.
Okay, he said that's the most Leaf pick that was ever Leafed, and he said right on brand.
Right,
fairly slight Euro with skill.
Yep. Well, that'll fit right in.
Yeah, this is it.
So, and Dubas did get some criticism online from what I was seeing. Is you said one of your goals this off season was to get tougher to play against. I don't think that was going to happen at the draft, right? You weren't going to draft an 18-year-old, 220-pound, 6'4", 18-year-old defenseman and throw him to the Wolves and go, there, fixed it.
And he addressed that with Sean McKenzie.
Right.
They broke away to him at one point, and McKenzie asked him that, and he said, and he just as you just did, he said, yeah, I don't think the 18-year-old draft is the place where where we address that. He said that's something that's likely going to happen through free agency and trades.
Yep.
And I agree with you, as you've just said, 18 years old, you know, like Ottawa just drafted a goalie that was 6'2", 156 pounds.
Yeah. I've seen a couple of 150s on this list going. Oh boy, you're gonna have to fill out a little.
That's grade eight.
Yeah, for sure. Speaking of Ottawa goalies, they make a trade if you're done on the draft.
I am. I just, in finishing, I like what the Rangers did, right? Obviously, the Lafreniere pick's a no doubter, but
sure.
I like that they, with their second pick, they moved up and they took Schneider, right? Which is a guy who was sort of universally deemed to be the third best defenseman in the first round. And some had him as high as 12, and the Rangers stepped up, made a move to move up a couple spots and grabbed him in the early 20s or 19, somewhere around there anyways. And so to me, that's what you do when you have a little, You know, you obviously you won the lottery, so you've got that free money, and then you take that second pick, and then you do something with it. And so I just think those are the kinds of ballsy moves. The Capitals grabbing Hendricks Lapierre. Like, that is a guy who has got top 10. If he's healthy, he's got top 10 skill.
Right.
Right? And so to me, that's a thing where you go, gamble. And it's
well, that seemed to be the guy that the Leafs fans who didn't like the Amarov pick were hung up on. Like, that Lapierre was still there. Why did he not? And a couple of people who I read said that this is, as you just said, very dubious in that swung for the fences, right? No doubt that Lapierre probably has a higher floor, but are you sure he has as high of a ceiling? And Dubas, for better or worse, whether you agree with him or not, this has been his MO. He's high ceiling. I'm going to take my swings and hope for the best, right? And see if I can make contact here on a few of them. And you don't end up with Freddie Gauthier in the first round, or you don't end up with Tyler Biggs in the first round, or we project him to be a future third line center. Then don't draft him in the first round, yeah. Dick, right? Like, yeah. This isn't where you do that. So,
well, I think that's what the Oilers did with their first round pick, right?
Drafted a third line center.
They reached up and grabbed a third line center in Holloway.
Yes. Well, since you've moved me off my last segue, let's use this one. Just before we started, you see the text I sent you?
I did.
The Oilers have come to terms on a 2-year deal with Jesse Puljujärvi. I'm intrigued. He hadn't put up much when he was with Edmonton, but he'd also been yo-yoed up and down, A, the lineup, and B, back and forth to, I think it's Bakersfield is their farm team. Had a good year back in Finland. I think he was playing for Karpat, I believe the tweet said. Yep. Almost a point a game. Those stats I always struggle with a little bit. Typically, European hockey is a little lower scoring, so you don't expect quite the... So a point a game would be terrific. Do you think this is long term, or is this just get him back over here so we can finally get him traded?
Well, they could have flipped him to the Rangers for same that Swedish kid that they just traded out to, the one who chucked his gold
medal in
the
Elias Anderson.
Elias Anderson.
Yeah.
I think they're at a spot where, and did you check out the AAV on that?
I did. I can't remember now. I think it was
1.17, yeah, I believe.
It's light.
It's a little. It's almost comparable to what the Leafs offered Kyle Clifford.
Yes,
right. That's some sweet cash right there.
Sweet. And except Clifford was getting 3 years, and Puljujärvi only got two. So.
Yeah, but again, that is. I think they're in a spot where, I think that's a pretty free look.
Right? Oh, for sure.
To at this point, you go, okay, enough. Maybe there's enough water under the bridge that we can bring you back in, take a look. Right? Have you grown? Is that point a game?
You've overhauled the whole staff. Like, whoever, all the bad feelings weren't with Ken Holland, weren't with Dave Tippett. Like,
what about the fan base, though?
You well, there is still that.
Still some hard feelings amongst the fan base.
For sure.
So, yeah, I did see that, and I think it's time, right? Yeah. And at this point, if it doesn't work, yeah.
Give him another home.
Then you set him loose, and I think that's at a value, shortly, you know, a little over $1 million, that somebody else will say, I'll take a stab at that.
Yeah, I think that's probably the 2-year thing, right? Is he'll be here for one, we'll see if it works, and if not, we still have control to trade you somewhere else, maybe still get a pick or something out of it, and as right. You said, someone else will take a look at it. So that was interesting, because that soap opera's been going on forever, so intriguing to see that that's been resolved. But if we do circle back to the Senators, probably the biggest news of the second day of the draft was the Senators trading for Matt Murray. And as I said, I wasn't paying a ton of attention today. What did they trade to get him?
They traded a late second and John Gruden.
John Gruden?
Yep. Head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders.
Wow. Yep. Does he know? He's
on the move. He's Chubby Chucky. Yeah. COVID, obviously, like everybody else, I think Chucky is put on with the COVID 30.
You're seeing a lot of, I did see that trade come across on Twitter, and immediately Leafs Twitter, because we believe everything is about us, started having the alarm bells going off, like, is this the Ottawa signs them, like gets the new deal worked out, and then eats half of it and then we trade to get, like, is this just a stopover? But Pierre Dorion was on the radio later in the day and said he will be our starting goalie. So this isn't a stopover. They view him as the guy. I honestly, man, despite what happened last season, and I know Matt Murray's had his ups and downs, I think Pittsburgh's made a mistake here. I think they've bet on the wrong guy, and I think this was a good move for Ottawa because it sounds like they didn't give up a goddamn thing. I don't know if you had high hopes for John Gruden or not, but you know
actually.
Right. So to me, this is an easy move for Ottawa, who's technically, you'd like to be turning the corner on the rebuild, but you are still in a rebuild, so you take a shot at this. Matt Murray's still young. He could grow with your group. If it works, that's awesome. And if it doesn't, you know, maybe you weren't expecting to be really good quite yet anyway. You can take a look for a year or two and see how it goes. I think it's a slam dunk for the Sens.
Okay. Well, good. Then you've taken that right. Because I was going to ask you first. Because to me, it really comes down to, because he's an unrestricted free agent.
Right.
Right. And so what is going to happen in terms of the qualifying offer, which I believe has already happened, right? Do they extend him out beyond, you know, him being able to walk to free agency, those sorts of things? And what is the value on it, right? If we could sign that guy for 3 years, to me, that's a nice bridge.
Yeah.
And it allows you to...
The Sens have young goalies in the pipeline that they have high hopes for.
Right. None of them have won 2 Stanley Cups, though.
Nope. It's true, man.
And so... Yeah, and I look at him and go, he's 26, mm-hmm. and he's already won 2 cups. He's been injured a little bit, but as you said, Ottawa's not expecting to win right now.
Right.
And so if you bring this guy in and he writes it, to me it's an extremely low risk, potentially high reward.
Yeah, the only criticism you could possibly make is with all the goalies who are going to be UFA on Friday, did you have to give up anything to get somebody? But if this is the guy you wanted, you didn't give up much, I think it's fine. And, you know, depending on how deep down you want to drill on some of the advanced analytics, like all through the last year and a half, whenever this kind of all started and they were started going back and forth between him and Tristan Jarry, his high danger save percentage, Matt Murray's that is, yep. was like top 10 in the league, 876. I know anything that starts with an 8, you go, holy fuck. High danger save percentage. The guy is already there in the slot about to crush you. 876, pretty good. It was top 10 in the league. Tristan Jarry's was bottom 5 in the league, and it started with a 7. So, again, that's just one more analytic, but when you really start to drill down on it, what those sorts of numbers suggest were, hey, maybe Pittsburgh's defense wasn't helping him a ton when it was left just up to him to face a shooter in a high danger chance. He was still coming up big. So go ahead.
For those of you not familiar with that stat, Carey Price's exact same. Yeah. He had a low 800 in the regular season, and then in the playoffs, a high 800.
Right.
Like, and so to me,
and Matt Murray's was better than Price's. So. Like, it's something.
I mean, the regular season.
Yeah, okay.
It was substantially better than Price's. Price's, I was really trying to illustrate how big a difference that makes.
Yeah, for sure.
Right, in terms of, that number is going to be much lower than what you deem to be acceptable because that's why they call it high risk. Yeah,
that guy's already there. You are in danger.
Danger, Matt Robinson. Yeah, it's true. It's true. And so, at this point... they needed somebody. Nielsen's not coming back, right? He's still suffering effects of the concussion, which was 10 months ago.
That's rough.
So, for that guy, that's and it's a likely a career ender.
He may never be the same, yeah.
Right, which is too bad for Anders because I think he, he certainly had a career as a backup, if nothing else.
Yeah, and he'd found a little success here.
Right, and so at this point, they don't want to bring up anybody else because nobody else is ready. And you can't go with Hogberg and sort of an untested guy who's never been above the AHL yet.
Right.
So to me, this is probably the best thing you're going to see on the second day of the draft for the Senators.
Earlier in the week, we saw Max Domi and a pick traded from the Montreal Canadiens to Columbus for Josh Anderson. What did you make of that one?
Did I see he just signed too?
Could be.
After you sent me the Puljujarvi, I flipped over to Cap Friendly because I wanted to see what that was looking at.
Yeah.
I think under the signings, it had Domi signing for 5.3.
Okay. I hadn't seen that. As soon as I sent that, I came in here, started getting ready. So
okay.
Whether that just broke or not, I'm not sure. People will be hearing about that either as we release this or...
I think it's terrible. To be honest, for Columbus.
Really?
I look at I don't really like Domi as a player.
No, me neither. To be honest with you.
And so, Josh Anderson, dude is a fridge, right? And I get one goal in 26 games last year, right?
And then hasn't played since. Had been injured and.
Right, and so if I can get 2018-2019 Josh Anderson.
Right.
Loving it in Montreal.
Well, he would fit nice into that top six. He would give them some size and some sandpaper and plays in that right side where they need a little bit of help. So that is interesting.
Do you think Domi is a Tortorella guy?
Probably not. But I did, you know, someone pointed out again online in one of the comment sections saying, hey, just watch a little bit. When he gets to Columbus, Domi's offensive numbers likely to come down, but defensive game likely to improve under Tortorella. So, you know, does he buy into that system? Do they expect him to be a center to play behind Dubois, or is he going back to the wing? Like, I don't at this point have a clue. To me, Max Domi's a winger. I know that's been a thing for a while. They've been trying to figure out, and they played him as the fourth line center in Montreal during the restart here. I don't know what his deal is yet. And I think he's got enough skill that he gets another chance somewhere.
Sure.
But I'm like you. I've never quite understood the hype. And obviously it went through the roof when you go to a Montreal, right? A big market, you get a ton more attention. But I don't know what he is yet. He may be just a kind of 50-point guy.
Which really in 2020, we shouldn't undersell that. But when he showed up his first year as a motivated guy in Montreal...
Yeah.
Right, played with a little chip and a little edge, and he got 70 points, I think. Mm-hmm. Right, and then last year he sort of went away from that and changed his game back to look kind of like Coyotes Domi, right? And so I'm not really sure what the deal is there. It's two guys
who needed something new, like worth the swap. I don't really understand why Montreal had to throw in the pick. Like, are we sure Josh Anderson? Coming off the injuries and everything, are we sure he's better than Domi? Like,
yeah, I think what it comes down to is they covet the other things that he brings.
Yeah,
right. In terms of the size and the grit, right. And you look at some of the moves now that Bergevin has made, right. In terms of Edmondson on the back end,
mm-hmm.
right. Bringing in Jake Allen, now bring in Josh Anderson, right. I think they've made some subtle. Not so subtle, but solid moves, yep. right? In terms yep. of sort of revamping on the fly what they have and the type of team they are. So I guess really I like it better. I think there's a better opportunity or chance that Josh Anderson regains some of that form with that same beefy game.
Right.
And likewise that Domi maybe becomes the next Alex Wenberg, right?
Yeah. And you can see what they're going for. I think I agree with you, but I can see what Columbus is trying to do too, right? They need a little flash. They need a little offense somewhere, and they're just hoping he can find it again a little bit and give them a little offensive punch because they badly need that in Columbus. But I'm with you. I mean, Josh Anderson is exactly what Montreal was looking for and maybe lacking a little bit. The Leafs re-signed Jason Spezza, league min. I think I said earlier on that I would be surprised if they didn't do that. I'll be honest with you. As we went on, and this isn't an original thought, I believe it was printed in The Athletic, it was in a few different places, I started to wonder if I was as all in on it as I thought I was, just because you're kind of seeing what a Corey Perry meant or to Dallas on their run. Like, yeah. Could you find the same guy, like the 35, 36, 37-year-old guy willing to... do a league min thing who's just a little different, right? Maybe when it wants to come home, maybe you just lost out on the game of musical chairs in a crazy offseason and was stuck with a league min type deal. But I think I'm still, like, I'm not unhappy about it, right? Just sort of wondered if that 700 grand could have gone to a different type of guy. But I loved having Spez on the Leafs. Like, he was clearly great in the room. The guys really dug him. It was kind of cool to see him. And, like, all the analytics communities, at 700 grand, you do that with Jason Spezza all day. Like, he's no longer a $7 million guy, but if he wanted to, he'd get, you know, two somewhere else if he wanted to go play.
Yep, easily, yeah. Easily, probably three times that.
Right.
And, no, three times the seven.
The seven, I'm with you, not six million.
Yeah, and so it comes down to, you look at it, and again, I tweeted at you yesterday, but clearly you were out. I'm wondering if at some point, if everybody in the league is going to have somebody playing for them who was bought out by somebody else and is playing for the minimum for them. You know what I mean?
Getting my cash from somewhere else.
And... Well, listen, you look at the number of people that, like, every day, like, did you see that Kyle Turris got put on waivers?
That was next on my list here. Yeah. And he's going to be $2 million. What a disaster. That was a 6-year deal.
More years.
Yeah. That was a 6-year contract. And so they buy him out. It will be $2 million on the cap for 8 years now. Like, just terrible.
By the time that contract expires, it'll be the 2028 Summer Olympics, and we don't even
know
where that is yet. So that's how long out they'll still be paying.
I think it's very optimistic of you to assume there's still going to be a society in 2028.
Yeah,
by 2028,
maybe that's what David Poyle is saying too. He's like, all right, I don't got to worry about that.
Living in fucking caves and shit, nuclear fallout, and
flinging feces and whatnot.
The only thing left standing is the Kyle Turris buyout.
Yeah, well, you know, and maybe the Rick DiPietro one or whatever. Yes. There's a couple of those buttes that'll still be kicking around, or the Bruce Galoff. One of these guys will still be getting money from somebody. But yeah, that is, you know, one of those things where there's just buyouts are coming fast and furious, right? Like, and again, Wenberg.
Yeah.
Also, same thing happened, right? Like, just a number of guys who are teams that are willing to say, all right, I'll take the bite. I'll bite the bullet on this and just cut loose. Like, it's like people are throwing stuff overboard.
No, for sure. Just the cap's not moving for a while now. So if we go all the way back around to that, I know you don't love the way Dubas has built his team. Would you have done the Spezza thing?
Well, it's twofold, because my answer is at the end of the playoffs or the play-in round.
Yeah.
We talked about it and we're like, yeah, look at that guy, yep. Right? But then once we finish the conversation we just had, you got to know come Friday, and with the you know, the plethora of people who have been bought out, that there's probably a pretty good chance you could get for 700K somebody closer to what you really needed.
The Wayne Simmons type, or maybe Wayne Simmons himself. I'm nervous about that, but Pierre LeBrun keeps talking about it, that the Leafs are interested and he's interested in coming home. That scares me, right? Like, yeah.
You also hear other people saying that's LeBrun doing the agency a favor.
Could be. And I'd be happy about that. And in his prime, you'd love Wayne Simmons, but it would appear that is long past him. Like, he's not Wayne Simmons anymore.
And he can't skate well enough to do the edgy things you maybe want from him.
Right.
Right. And so if you can't get there, then there's no point, right?
No, exactly.
It's kind of like the Lucic thing, right?
Yep. No, it's true. You go,
if I can't roll around and smash into things, well, it's no good.
Looks like the Canucks are going to let Tyler Toffoli go to unrestricted free agency. And this is, man, we've been talking about it forever. The in-the-moment reaction that Canucks fans gave you when we shit on this show, repeat, signed Sutter, signed, what's it, Roussel, signed, yep. You still got Louis Erickson tied up. They have a pile of money in guys that weren't a problem at the time. But if you had any type of foresight at all and started to see, okay, when Pedersen needs to get paid, when Hughes needs to get paid, and those days are coming now. And even today, swept up in this list of guys who didn't get their qualifying offer, Troy Stecker. Is he a game breaker? No. Is he a useful NHL defenseman? Yes. And you had to let him go because you're going to have to let Tyler Toffoli go because you signed like $20 million to your third and fourth line. And I think Toffoli is a guy that a lot of teams would still be happy to have. And I think he wanted to stay in Vancouver by all accounts.
He did say he wanted to stay there.
Yeah.
And that's a guy, yeah, you flipped out that first, right? And you brought him in and he went healthy, short of that horrific injury.
Yeah.
He was contributing, right? And that's the kind of guy who would sit quite nicely in their lineup.
Yeah.
So I am surprised because it seemed like a fit for both sides. So, you know, unless he's asking for outrageous cash.
Yeah. Well,
we'll find out Kyle Clifford cash.
Is there anyone else you wanted to get to on this?
No, man. There was enough things happening today that I thought
sure
this would be, and really, you know what? It's a hole in your guest list, right? Between Tuesday and Thursday, I thought I could jump in and fill a void for you, man.
Well, we appreciate that, man. Chair, a seat filler, like at the Oscars there.
Yeah, no problems. Exactly. I'll clap when told. Hey, look at that guy. Clap. Clap now.
Yeah, no problems. Tim McAuliffe will be here on Thursday. That'll be episode 739. So keep an eye out for that at tallcanaudio.com. As I said, you can check out the Sean Fitzgerald episode. That was 737. It's on Tuesday. Wherever you are listening to this one, you'll find those. Make sure you subscribe. We're on Twitter and Instagram at tallcanaudio. And I'm going to go and find some cold meds or another 7% beer or something.
Opt for the second.
All that's doing is deferring.
Yeah, live in the moment, Matt. Don't worry about later.
My pain till the next day, but maybe that's worth it. That's morning Matt's problem, and we all know how little regard I have for that guy.
Yes.
All right.
Or healthy Matt. Any of those guys.
Fuck, I don't even know the last time I saw that guy.
If ever. Who is that guy?
Right. That's Tall Can Audio number 738. We'll catch us all on the next one.
See ya.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
Thanks for listening. You can get more TCA at tallcanaudio.com or by searching Tall Can Audio on your favorite podcast app.